campaigned against it. She's a businesswoman. You probably know Gina Miller. She came to public attention after twice leading successful attempts to challenge the government's handling of Brexit in 2019. For example, the Supreme Court ruled in her favour, finding that Boris Johnson had unlawfully suspended Parliament. Now, Gina Miller and I disagree a lot politically, and Nigel Farage and Gina Miller disagree politically. But Nigel Farage, and me for that matter, are supporting Gina Miller because she has been debanked by a bank called Monzo. Now, Monzo say that they are, like a lot of banks, there's their statement, a spokeswoman for Monzo says, like a lot of banks, we do not accept any political parties as Monzo business customers in the same way that we don't currently accept trust clubs and a range of other organisations. After this was identified and corrected, the customer was given notice that the account would be closed. We recognise that this experience will have been frustrating for the customer and we're sorry about that. Gina Miller says the government has to step in this because there are political parties, there are people who are, like Nigel Farage, there are apparently 50,000 people in this country who have been debanked. She says we do not have a functioning democracy if you cannot access a bank account. Despite their differences over Brexit, Nigel Farage has tweeted his support saying this is just plain wrong at every level. I stand with Gina Miller. And clearly there's been a lot of discussion on Nigel Farage this week, and now there will be on Gina Miller as well. Let's talk to Stephen Barrett, who's a barrister and writer. Stephen, you're very good to come on the programme this morning. What do you make of this?
Well, there is a definite problem in the provision of financial services, and that ultimately is the big takeaway. We need to get to a position where financial services can be provided to everybody who needs it in a proper fashion. And there is a distinction, I think, between the Farage case and the Miller case. Because in Gina Miller's situation, what Monzo are effectively saying is, look, if we take on political parties, then we have to do a whole bunch of extra regulatory stuff. That's a massive burden on us. We're quite small. We can't really afford that extra burden. So we just don't want any of you at all, which is a sort of universalist position, if you like. The Farage position is specific to him. And it's quite clear from the information we have from that bank that they are targeting him. They don't like him in particular, whereas Monzo's just trying to stay away from all politicians. The problem with this is that it is incredibly badly written law. So what I mean by that is well-written law is clear. Everything is defined properly and everybody knows what the boundaries are and what the meanings are. Monzo seems to have got itself into a bit of a pickle because it allowed True and Fair to register on the basis of campaigning, and it didn't think that campaigning was a political thing to do. Now, that's inherently odd because campaigning is quite clearly a political thing to do. And one of my bugbears in public life is that the very definition of what it is or is not to do politics, to be political, that definition is breaking down. And it's quite clear that Monzo don't have a very clear definition of it. And in their defence, that's almost entirely, almost absolutely certainly true, because the laws themselves don't define it properly. And what we've got is some very flabby legislation hanging around, which the banks are, in Monzo's case, innocently trying to interpret and trying to avoid in order to run a commercial enterprise. Anybody who's watching this who's tried to run a business will know that you try and minimise your overheads, you try and minimise the burdens of red tape, if you like, in order to be successful. And that's perfectly, I would say, that they've been innocently caught up in this. Whereas in the Farage case, that bank seems to have quite deliberately jumped in feet first, gung-ho, to the idea of, oh, well, we can get rid of this customer. We may have had him for decades, but we don't like him now for whatever reason.
Whatever the reasons for this in terms of Gina Miller, and it does seem to be a slightly different issue to Nigel Farage. It's not quite as straightforward as the absolutely disgraceful situation that Coutts put Nigel Farage in, and quite rightly, both the chief executive of NatWest, who leaked the information, and indeed the chief executive of Coutts have gone. In terms of Gina Miller, I mean, if you're setting up a campaigning organisation, surely there must be banks that will, are there banks, I don't know, that will welcome you with open arms, that won't make the same mistake? And from Monzo's perspective, this couldn't come at a worse time for them.
Well, no, I strongly suspect that there aren't, because what we've done, and this is more by accident than by conspiracy, is place this extra burden on banks. So quite rightly, they'll all go, well, I don't want, if having a political party as a client costs me more money, then I don't want a political party as a client. And they will all do this, because why wouldn't you? You know, if it's more expensive to have a certain type of client, you just won't have that type of client. We might look at why we have these rules in the first place. I mean, what we seem to have, and another, it's an issue within the law, is that we've created these sort of megalithic areas, money laundering, data protection, and they're worlds unto themselves, and they don't mesh well. They conflict, and the requirements of all of them just don't work, because technically we have rules saying that you can't discriminate against people based on their political opinions when providing them banking services. And at the same time, we say, if people are political and you provide them banking services, it's going to cost you extra money as a business. Those two don't mesh well. We've actually been making very bad law largely for the last 20 years. And it's all coming out in these sort of events. And it's because things aren't defined properly and burdens are being placed upon businesses, and businesses are reacting as businesses would. You know, if I set up a bank tomorrow, it would be a huge, huge cost. Huge, that's why almost no new banks are ever created for a start. But say that I managed to navigate that huge and complex task. Okay. And then I was like, oh, and if you have a political client, it'll be even worse. You just wouldn't go anywhere near it. And I suspect, strongly suspect, that that's the problem that a lot of them will bump into. We used to have this concept of a national bank.
Yes.
That would be a solution. There are ways to solve this. You can reduce the regulatory burden. You can police events like Coutts, reduce the regulatory burden on Monzo. Or alternatively, you could have a national bank, which provides basic banking services to everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen, thank you so much. That's Stephen Barrett there, barrister.